maneuver some of this stuff. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Luke. No surprise, we're looking at the Christmas story once again today. Last week, we was asking the question, what happened when God shows up? And we saw the effects that it had on the Mary and Joseph and in their lives, and how there were some changes in their lives that took place. And we sort of ended up with the idea, that God selects the right person for the right task. And we saw how Mary and Joseph was just the right ones for the specific task that need to be carried on. And we looked at all that last week, but we also looked at how God does that kind of thing even today, how he selects the right person for the right task, or the right people for the right task that needs to be done. And we looked at how we could equate that with the church, and how God has brought the church together to spread his gospel into the each individual area. Well, today we're going to look at the Christmas passage where the birth of Christ occurs. We find it in the first seven verses of Luke chapter 2, so I would encourage you to take a look there if you will. And keeping in mind not the right person for the right task, but today we're talking about the right place at the right time. Look, if you will, at the text. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went out to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with his wife Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, their days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your amazing love for us. Lord, we thank you that not only do you select the right person for the right task, but you always have the right place at the right time. You're never off time. You're never late, never early. You're right where you need to be when you need to be there. And Lord, I believe that that's a divine appointment that Mary and Joseph had, and we see that occurring in our text today. But Lord, it also applies to our lives today as well. So Lord, help us to see this text as something that we can apply to our lives, that we can leave here all the stronger for it. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You have to wonder what's going through the mind of Mary at this point. Here she is sitting in a dirty stable. Baby Jesus is born. She wraps him in swaddling clothes and lays him in a manger. He lays him in a feeding trough, basically, because there was nowhere else for them to be. Now, go back just to last week when we were talking about the angel selecting Mary for this task, and how we said that, it's going to be the right person for the right task, and how significant that was for her. And an angel makes this announcement to her, so it has to mean that God is with her. And she took comfort in that. The angel said, you know, with God, anything is possible. And she believed that. And so she finally said, "Let it be according to your word." So here comes a time for the baby to be delivered. They go to Bethlehem. She's sitting in a dirty manger, dirty stable, by a manger where the Son of God has been born. Do you think this is what she envisioned when the angel first appeared to her? An angel from the Lord comes to you and makes a specific announcement to you about a certain thing, event's going to happen in your life. You get it all worked out. This is God's will for my life, and surely this is going to be a tremendous thing. I mean, at this point here, there's no shepherds yet. The wise men are certainly a long way off at this point. Nobody's gathered around but the old barnyard animals that are there with them. And they're sitting there thinking, I wonder if anybody's going to come see us like you would at the hospital if you just had a child there. It was had to be an unnerving experience to think, well, God said this was going to happen. God said I was going to give birth to the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. It's going to be the Messiah of the world, the Savior of the world, and all this. But now here I am sitting in an old dirty stable with a manger. And no sanitation around us or anything. This is not a place for a baby to be born. Maybe I misunderstood what was happening in my life. Maybe I misunderstood the calling that God placed on my life. Well, surely, if this was going to be the Son of God, this is not how it's going to happen. Have you ever found yourself in that situation? Maybe you wake up one day and you think, what in the world has happened to my life that brought me to this point in my life? I did not see this coming. I had no idea how it was going to work out. So some of you are not from Wake County or Durham County. If you're not originally from Wake County or Durham County, raise your hand. If you're not originally from this, look at all these people here. Did you ever think you'd wind up in Morrisville, all places? What in the world are you doing here? This is not how you planned your life to work out. Maybe some of you are on up in the years, and you're thinking about retirement, and you're thinking about finishing well, which every Christian needs to think about doing. And you think, I had no idea that this is where I was going to be in this stage of my life. What has happened? What has worked in my life to this point to bring me to where I am today? Surely God had greater aspirations for my life than what I have now. Is it possible that I could be in the wrong place at the wrong time? Well, I think our text this morning demonstrates to us that things don't always work out the way that we desire for them to be. And just because it doesn't happen that way, it doesn't mean that we're out of God's will. As a matter of fact, Joseph and Mary are right in the center of God's will when this is taking place. So from this narrative and from this story that we have, a very familiar story, probably one of the most popular passages of Scripture in all the Bible, we find out some important things about being the right person, being in the right place at the right time. There's some general principles that apply all throughout the Scriptures out of this text. I want you to consider these this morning, if you will. And it deals with God's sovereignty, God's rule, God's authority, God's ability to control circumstances that are around us. God is in charge, whether it may seem like it or not. And we see three things in our text this morning that can help us to understand that. And I hope you can apply it to your life today. Wondering, what in the world are you doing here? What has brought you to this point in time? I like what Mordecai told Esther. Maybe God has brought you here for such a time as this. Maybe we're here today for a divine appointment. Maybe we're here for such a time as this, as we are together today. But the first thing I want to point out is God is sovereign over public affairs. God is sovereign over public affairs. We see that in the first three verses. It came to pass in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Some versions say taxed. And a census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. There's some old historical documents that help authenticate what we have here about the idea of a census taking place. I believe now in our culture today we have a census taken every 10 years, and we see the people going door to door trying to find out who's living at your home and that kind of stuff, and we're supposed to, by law, answer the questions that they're asking us. A census takes place. Well, back in the biblical days, we understand that the census took place about every 14 years. And in this case, everyone had to go back to their own ancestral roots. It's kind of like having a tax reassessment. Any of you here in Wake County or Durham County have a tax reassessment recently? Any of you find out you're a lot more wealthy than you thought you were? I remember talking to the lady at White Lake, Miss McSwain, that owns the place that we like to go on Labor Day weekend. I visited with her one day, and she was telling me, you know, I went to bed one night, woke up the next day, and I was a millionaire. I said, how'd that happen? He said, they reevaluated my property, and now I'm a millionaire. I got all this property, all this valuable property that it wasn't so valuable just a day before. You become wealthy overnight. Taxes. Who would ever think that something good can come out of taxes? Other than David. He's a CPA, so he makes money off of that. So it works with that. Well, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, something had to bring the birth of the Messiah to Bethlehem. It's interesting. Bethlehem means house of bread, is what it means. And who's Jesus? He says he's the bread of life. And I think that's kind of neat to think about it. A reevaluation, a census, a tax, whatever you want to call it, it was at the right place at the right time. Think about it for just a minute. Those of you that are saved, you can look back at your life, and if you're careful, and if you think about it and give it some careful consideration, you can look back and see how God orchestrated your salvation process to take place. How was that God brought you to himself so that you became a child of God? I think one of the interesting stories we have around here is Karen Parker's story, the director of children's ministry. And a lot of you know that she is from Scotland. And she was going to bring it for me today, but she said she couldn't find the thing. But she's got the plane ticket for the Lockerbie flight that was flying out of Scotland that the terrorists blew up. She was supposed to be on that plane and on that flight on that day, but she decided to come home a day early so she could see her sweetie pie, David. So David saved his life, so anyway. But anyway, she comes over here to America. She finds, works her way towards Myrtle Beach, and she runs out of money in Raleigh, North Carolina. So this is where she stays, Raleigh, North Carolina area. Somebody said Jacqueline has about 6 months or so before she starts college. Maybe she should see the world. I said she could probably get as far as Karen did, Raleigh, North Carolina. Then you're out of money, then you have to find a home to stay in and all that other kind of stuff. It'd be a big hassle, but nonetheless. But that's the way things worked out. She met the Biddings, Dan and Betty Bidding, and of course Dan passed away, and Karen and David come to the funeral here at this church, and asked after the funeral, she asked it'd be all right if they came to church with her, and Betty said, "No, I won't have you do that." Now, of course, she said, "You're more than welcome to do that." And she started hearing the Word of God being preached. I went to her home and shared the Word of God with her, not from the Romans, not the Roman road, but from Genesis, to explain to her about God's plan for the world and how through creation God was at work. She's got a scientific mind. She had to see it from a different perspective and be able to analyze it. And sure enough, as the facts were presented to her, she took some time to analyze it. And it wasn't just a few weeks later she walked the aisle and said she wanted to give her life to Christ. It was a dramatic event. It was a public affair that really brought her to where she could know Christ. And God ordained this through all that had taken place. God protected her from the Lockerbie flight. God brought her to Raleigh. God brought her to this church. And God sent me to her house to share the gospel. It's neat how it all works out. There's other stories of that in our sanctuary. I was talking to Amber last night about how God orchestrated their move from another part of the country to bring them here to Morseville, and they could hear the gospel and they could see God working through the public affairs of life, the secular events taking place. You don't think they have any significance. You think it's just a circumstance, but I'm telling you this morning, God is sovereign over these public affairs. He works it out. We don't think taxes can be used by God in any way, but look what happened. It brought Jesus to the manger. It brought Jesus to Bethlehem to be a fulfillment of the scriptures, the prophecies of Micah. Some of you say, "I wish my salvation was that experience, that exciting and that eventful." Mine was kind of plain. I grew up in a Christian home, and when I was old enough to understand what God had done for me by sending Christ to come, I accepted Christ, and I really haven't known a life any other way. There's nothing spectacular about my conversion. Well, you're wrong there, because every conversion is spectacular. And maybe it's a little harder for you to see it, but maybe you need to think, well, what brought your mom and dad to Christ? What public affairs, what secular events took place to bring them into the knowledge of God, into the will of God, or maybe your great-grandparents? Somewhere, anywhere along that line, somebody came to know God, came to know Christ, got involved in the church and was discipled under the teachings of the Word of God, and eventually it comes down to you. And even a greater question is why are you still here? Or what is it that kept your mom and dad from getting discouraged with church and not coming anymore and dropping out, abandoning the faith? And what has kept you from abandoning the faith? I submit to you that it's God that does that. I'll give God the credit and give God the glory. His sovereignty over public affairs have brought each and every one of you to this place today. We've got some here today for the very first time, and we've got some that's been here their whole life today, but we're here today by God's sovereignty. In public affairs, we're here today together. That can't be denied. This is the right place at the right time. The second thing I'd like to point out this morning is God is sovereign over personal affairs. God is sovereign over personal affairs. Look at verses 4 and 5. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he is the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. I've already stated that Micah had prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was the right place at the right time. This is how it was going to come about. But what implications did this have on Mary and Joseph personally? The angel had already said that, Mary, you are highly favored among women. And the child that's going to be born in you, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. The child that you're going to carry is going to be the Son of God. And he will be great, and he'll be the ruler over the house of David. And all this stuff, and there's this kingdom, there'll be no end. We looked at all that last week, and it's beautiful to see that in Luke chapter 1, the angel announcement. I can just see Mary beaming with excitement about what God's going to be doing in her life there in Nazareth. She's comfortable. She's ready for this baby to be born. And any woman who's had a child knows what that's like. You're ready for the baby to be born. And then Joseph comes up and said, Mary, we got to go to Bethlehem. Now, I don't know about your wife, but if I told my wife that when she was 9 months pregnant or something like that, or ready to deliver a child, she would probably look at me like she does frequently. You must be crazy. Do you realize that's 90 miles away from here? And for us on the interstate, that's an hour and a half. For them, that's 3 days to get to Bethlehem. And Joseph is saying, we got to go do this. She said, no, wait a minute. You misunderstand. I have favor with God. He said, I was highly favored among women. Surely it can't mean us. Get Augustus on the phone. Caesar Augustus. Call him up. Tell him God told me to call you. So you got a misunderstanding. We're going to send a note instead of actually going there because I'm pregnant. He'll understand it's God's will being done here. If it were today, what would we say? We can't go anywhere. We've been working hard on this Lamaze thing. Joseph could say, I'm the master coach. I wish Damon was here today. I was going to pick on him a little bit because when we went to visit with him at the hospital, he was making a comment about the contraction monitor that comes off of the baby and everything, off the mama, I guess is what it does. And he said, I was just watching that thing the whole time. I said, I was too. Wasn't that cool? And the contractions go up and down and up and down. It's so fun to watch, I think. I really enjoyed that. I found out I could lie to Tanya, though. The contraction could be picking out. I'll say, Tanya, look, it's almost over. Don't worry. She didn't believe me. I don't know why. But we get the breathing thing down. You know, you get ready. You're ready to have the baby. You don't want any changes in your plan. You've got the nursery all set. We can't leave. We got the nursery ready for the baby, ready to bring him home. Little baby Jesus, he's going to be here, and it's going to be great. The Son of God, the angels are going to be here. It's going to be a wonderful thing. But we can't go anywhere. We'd make all kind of excuses for that. When do the implications of personal public affairs become personal? It's when it affects what we prize the most. The mother and a child is something that is protected. We don't mess around with that. If there's a lady that's about to give birth or have just given birth, they're really on a pedestal. There's something special. There's something unique. There's something glorious about that because life has just been born through this arrangement. It's a beautiful thing. Think about what's going on here, though. God has not changed his plan for Mary and Joseph. God told them through the angels that they would give birth to the Son of God, and that still happened. Nothing changed with God's plan as far as Mary and Joseph. God has not changed his plan for Jesus, the Messiah. He still came into the world, as a matter of fact. He's fulfilling his plan as prophesied in the Scripture. What has changed was the way Mary and Joseph would see all this come about. God placed them in a different setting, in a different environment. I remember when I fell in love with Jesus, and my relationship with Jesus came from a public knowledge, a public understanding, to a personal knowledge of Christ myself. I loved Jesus, and I loved my church, Corinth Baptist Church, one of the greatest churches on the planet, I thought, at the time. We had some great friends there. We had Tony Supka. We had Jeff and Kathy Welty and some other guy. We had a great time. We had one of the best choirs I believe we ever had. We had fun. We had a tenor section that was rocking back there. I tell you what, I love that. It was a great time in my life. And then I came to this place. This was the next church that I became a member of. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get to that church, First Baptist Church of Corinth, not First Baptist Church of Morrisville. I'm going to make it another Corinth Baptist Church is what I'm going to do. Not the Corinth of the Bible, but the Corinth Baptist Church of Monroe, North Carolina. I thought I could recreate that specialness. You know what? This never has been the same as Corinth Baptist Church. As a special bunch of people at that time of my life back then that will never be duplicated, but God has brought us into a just as blessed scenario as that we left. Maybe you've come here. You raised your hands just a few minutes ago. A lot of you, most of you here are not from this area. God has brought you to this area. You're from another church. And you started looking for a church home, and you went around and you tried to find that church that was just like the church that you left back, wherever it may be. And you never could find it. And you think, surely that same congregation, that same fellowship is here somewhere. I'm going to keep searching out until I find it. I'm telling you, you won't never find it. It'll never be like it was then. God will place you in a different setting, in a different environment. But God can bless in that environment as well. Maybe some of you guys have been to this church all your life, and you think, you know, I really like this church back when O.T. was the pastor here, or Tommy Hayes was the pastor here, or Dr. Enzer was in here, or now Norman Mitchell was here, or Norman Livengood, all these old pastors that have come back and preached on homecomings over the years past. I really like the church back in those days. Well, it's not the same church anymore. It is the same church, but the demographics of it have changed. The setting has changed. The environment has changed, but God's plan for our life hasn't changed. We're still here together today for a reason. We're the right place at the right time. God may have brought you from Scotland or Pennsylvania or Ohio or New York or wherever. It may have been a public affair that brought you here. It may have been a job transfer, or maybe you came here for college or some kind of schooling, or maybe you came here because a family member invited you or a friend invited you to come to the area and you liked it. Whatever it is, it may have been a public affair, but God wants to make it personal. And I'm convinced that God, that you can glorify God and serve God right here in this place. You're here at the right place at the right time. But you say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm up against. You don't know the struggles I'm facing. Well, let me conclude with my third point here. And that is, God is sovereign over problematic affairs. He's sovereign over the problems that you have in your life and the barriers that you seem to be facing. And so it was in verse 6. That while they were there, the days were completed for her to be to deliver. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. While she was there, came time for the baby. There was no room in the inn. It doesn't matter. There's no room. Doesn't matter what kind of inn it was. There was no room for baby Jesus. I could hear knocking on the door. Wait a minute. Remember the angel that told me all this stuff? This is going to be the Son of God. You better think about what you're doing. Have you ever read the Old Testament? You know, Elijah, Mount Carmel, you know, fire from heaven and all that kind of stuff. You better let us in or God's going to get you. But that's not how it took place. She had her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And that's not really unusual in those days as... Those without wealth, this would be how they would do it. But what was unusual is that the baby was laid in a manger or a feeding trough. And that was very unusual. But it was warm and it was soft. And it was the best that she had. And she gave of her best to the Lord. I can imagine her sitting there thinking, as I said in the beginning, this is not how I thought it would happen. With the fanfare of the angels coming and everything else, I thought it would be more dramatic than this. Now, soon the shepherd's going to be coming, and soon these others will be coming, and they'll see that God has spoke to other people about this event that's taking place, and that'll bring some confirmation. But she's sitting there thinking, I can't believe that this is what God had in store for my life. I just thought it would be greater. Yet God's will was being done, quietly and solemnly, on that first silent night. God took care of them, and they trusted in God to do just that. He didn't give them all the details. Whenever the angel first appeared to Mary, the angel didn't say, but you're going to have to go to Bethlehem, you're not going to have a room to stay in, you're going to be in a barn, and all this. It didn't give them all the details. But at the same time, he never left them hanging. He was in the right place at the right time. And so were Mary and Joseph. I don't know all that you're facing. I don't know what it is that has brought you to this area, and I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey right now. Maybe you need to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe God is doing that. God is wanting to make it personal with you. You see the public affairs, but God's more interested in the personal affairs, and He's wanting you to accept Him as Lord and Savior. But you don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what I'm up against. You don't know what I'm into. It doesn't matter. Or maybe you are coming from another church and you've moved to this area and God is calling you to be a part of this church, to serve God in this place. And you say, but I'm really looking for a church like I came from, this other church, and it's got to be just like it, or else I'm not going to be interested in becoming a member and serving. But maybe God has put you in a different setting, a different environment. But I'm telling you, it's the right place at the right time. I don't know what you're waiting on. I don't know what you're facing. But I will tell you these three things one more time in closing. That God is sovereign over public affairs. God is sovereign over personal affairs. And God is sovereign over problematic affairs. He may not give you all the details, but He'll never leave you hanging. But He will leave you trusting in Him. God has brought each of you to this place for a reason today. You're at the right place at the right time. Is God challenging you to do something in your spiritual journey today? Maybe He's challenging you that today is the day you need to accept Christ as your Savior. Maybe today is the day you need to make a commitment. Just, you know, I believe the Lord has brought me to this place, First Baptist Church of Morrisville, not to make the church more glorious or anything, but just to make it a better lighthouse to the community. And I want to serve God in that place. And I feel like that's what I should do this morning. I should unite with the church. Maybe God has revealed to you this morning that He is sovereign over problems in your life, and you thought your problems would keep you from serving Him. But we just need to give our problems to Him so we can be faithful to serve Him as He desires for us to do in His Word. Whatever it is, whatever God has impressed upon your heart, He wants you to know Him and serve Him. And you have to decide, are you here today by divine appointment? You say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm up against. Well, He may not give you all the details, but He'll never leave you hanging. Let's go to our Lord in prayer.